Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. You know, I still struggle with, is it 2015 or 16? Anybody else there? Now, is this the 16? 16. Okay. I don't know. Does anybody write out checks anymore? 16. Yeah, right. 16. Wow. Well, I'm so glad you're all here. You braved the catastrophe of the weather. They really like to hype up the weather, don't they? Ramp it up. Let's keep it, ramp it up. I fall for it every time. Every time I get, do we have enough coffee? do we have enough eggs? on the way home, make sure you stop, get some stuff, I mean, we don't want to run out of our stuff. And I'm supposed to preach on the West Side tonight at the House of Prayer, Cleveland House of Prayer. And I told Mike Noble, I said, only if the weather's good. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We're talking about vision, aren't we? Vision. We're pretty casual about what we see, aren't we? And I'm not here to berate you about that, I was raised a Catholic, and we used to take the Legion of Decency. You ever remember that? How many ever remember that, And at the beginning of the year, you would make a pledge, okay, that you wouldn't see any bad movies, Cinderella was on the list. And and I'm not, that's great. We should, see what we watch, we're pretty casual, it's out there for, everything's out there for us, to see. But how many know you have spiritual seeing, spiritual eyesight? So you can see in the spirit. And that's what that's when we talk about vision, we're talking about seeing in the spirit. And it seems like we're totally, accosted all the time with visuals, both hearing and, seeing in the media, And it kind of, can agitate us, it can upset us, it can cause fear to enter into our hearts, it can create all kinds of emotions that that by the time you get here, I got to kind of talk you down, trust God, wait a minute, trust God, the sky isn't falling, folks, and I'm a pretty optimistic guy, And God made me that way. He really made me to be a prophetic voice of hope. That's what he made me to be, a prophetic voice of hope. I understand after all these years trying to be everybody else, Oh, man, when I tried to be Jimmy Swaggart, that was hard. I got the hair, When I tried to be, what was it, Kenneth Hagin, whoever, we've been through a lot of guys, But when I realized that I am who God made me to be and you are who God made you to be, and he gave you the same gifts and callings as he's given me. I'm no special than you. I'm just not afraid to stand up here and make a fool out of myself and stick my neck out, I mean, a lot of you, Judy, come on up here. You'd take over, She'd go, no, not me, So there's a few of us who are willing, but we're not above anybody else, If we don't have preferred parking out there and... Doug doesn't carry my Bible or anything, But we've been through all that, haven't we? But we're in a whole different place of spiritual understanding. See, we need to be in a whole different place of spiritual understanding of who we are and where we're going. And God does that through a revelation of who he is. He wants to show us of who he is. I always say I had to forget who I thought I was to become what I was supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my gosh. My wife helped me. And continues to help me. Okay. And but there was another guy in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. Okay. And I think I've talked about this before. Sandy just gave me another opportunity, as she always does, and I thank God at this late date that I still get opportunity. You know what I mean? So thank you. So it's in verse 6, Isaiah 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died. You know, and I've talked about this before, that it seems that sometimes our vision is clouded by something that gets in the way. And I'm not talking about people dying, okay? I'm not talking about people have to die. But if we take this as a message to us and what's hindering our spiritual perception of things, how they really are, and how, you know, not how they are, but how they're supposed to be. That's what an intercessor is. You know, he doesn't look at how things are. He looks at how things are supposed to be. You know, and here it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So something has to die. Something has to die. I mean, maybe it's your own fear, okay? That has to die. That fear that's being generated by the natural vision, the media, the talking heads, all those things. Maybe that's what has to die. I wrote down a couple of things here. I said, maybe you're blinded by fear. Maybe you're blinded by hate. Oh, I just hate that. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what blinds you from seeing in the Spirit, seeing people with value and preciousness the way God sees them. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is amazing. Maybe it's anger. You know, I think it was Sandy said, until you become, God becomes bigger than what people have done to you. See? And what God has done for you, you'll never be free. See, God has to become bigger. Your revelation of God has to be greater than what people have done to you. Amen. By disappointment will blind you. Frustration will blind you. Anger will blind you. Hatred will blind you. I mean, those things will blind you. We've all been blinded by anger. Oh, blind rage. You know, I've never been in a fight, but I realized that the guy that's the angriest wins. You know, I was never angry enough to get in a fight, you know. You got to be pretty mad, but this blind rage. And we see those kind of things. And Uzziah wasn't a bad guy. He was prideful, and he was struck with leprosy, okay. But Isaiah kind of looked up to him and got along with him, you know what I mean? And sometimes God will take people that we put above God and just remove them, you know? How many has that happened to? Because he doesn't want anybody exalted, you know? He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. See, we have to cast down our imaginations. I am very good at imagining the worst possible case scenario. How about you, you know? Oh, my gosh, you know what I mean? That's, you know, I have 7 kids. Ugh. The phone went off. None of them were home last night. Only one lives home anymore. But still, the phone goes off at 10 o'clock. You're like, ah. You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh. I mean, once a dad, always a dad, you know? And so we have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Woo! Big job there. So, you know, start that Monday. Every thought. Oh my gosh. You know, I mean that exalts itself as the knowledge of God. Think of a thought, you know, a thought of hate, a thought of frustration, a thought of fear, you know, whatever. Take it. Now, wait a minute. We call it irrational thinking. You know, the whole psychiatric community calls it irrational thinking and how to self-speak. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. You know, that will live with me all week. That song wrecks me, folks. That song wrecks me. I never had, even as a pastor, I never had that full revelation. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He's given me strength to dance again. Joy in my heart. Make a fool. I mean, you know, thank you, worship team. You know, I mean, I got a song list on Tuesday because I am on the team. And and I just couldn't wait to get here, you know, to worship God and be in a community of people that have hope and that love God and love decency and love other people and love, you know, I mean, just what a community. I mean, I need this kind of community. I need this kind of community, you know, and it helps me. I'm a very social person, you know, and but God has given me a greater love. I can't believe how in love with people I am. I mean, at this age, you know what I mean? I should be just mad and, you know, grumpy. And, you know what I mean? But he's just made me in love with people. I just can't express it. It's almost wrong, you know? Because people would think you're weird, you know what I mean? It just, but that's how he's opened my sight, my vision. My redemptive revelation is called redemptive revelation. See, Isaiah means Yeshua is salvation, not damnation. Ho! Yeah. Yeshua is salvation, and he wanted Isaiah to bring forth a message of redemption, so he had to change his vision. Whew. He's called the messianic prophet. He saw Jesus, folks. Whew. What's it say? It says, I saw the Lord. Whew. Sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Oh my gosh. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. And he's not looking at his face. Okay? When I talk about smiling at God, you know, I love to smile at God. Love to get in that place to smile at God, take a minute, you know, call it meditation, whatever, contemplation, you know, just time with God, and I smile at God. And I know he's smiling back at me. Whew. But it's not his face that I see. See, I mean, no man has seen God at any time and lived. You know what I'm talking about? And especially in this time. It says he saw, what did he see? He saw He saw the train of his robe. That's what he saw. What did the woman at the issue of blood said? If only I could just touch the hem of his garment. Whew. If only I could just touch the hem of his garment. The hem of, I mean, she's still working in the Old Testament mentality. This is before the New Testament. Jesus hasn't been to the cross. And she understands the anointing and the power. And she says, I just want to touch the hem of his garment. Just touch the, I'm not trying to get you into, you know, seeing God's face, struggling to see God's face, or what does God look like, or, you know, that whole thing. I'm talking about just understanding his nature. His emotions, getting to the place where you understand God's nature and his emotions. It says, above him stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. We're getting an angelic, heavenly perspective here, folks. This is called divine revelation, an angelic view. The angels see this. See, they see this. It says, and the six wings which he covered his face. So we're not talking about seeing his face. We're not talking about that. It says, with two he covered his feet, and with and the two he flew, and the one cried one to another. This is the angelic perspective. It's the divine perspective. Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. Whew. See, now we have a tendency when we hear that to go into an Old Testament model like the priest in the temple. You know what I mean? Holy, 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 holy. That's not the perspective in the New Testament. If we call him father, if we call him friend, my kids don't come into the room going, holy, holy, holy. got kids too. See, we're talking about knowing and understanding his nature and his emotions. That's what we're talking about, folks. Wholeness, his whole nature, the wholeness of God. It says, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled. Angelic perspective, divine perspective. See, it's not just off in some throne room. But when you get this angelic perspective, when you get this divine revelation, when you get this redemptive revelation that he's trying to impart to Isaiah, because he wants to change what he's saying. When you get that, you see the goodness of God everywhere. Whew, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with your glory. The whole world, I mean, you could walk in Giant Eagle. I told you that, man. When I walk in and I look at the produce and everything, I go, God, God, you're so good. God, the variety, the color, your creation, your provision. Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. I mean, it just blows me away. It blows me away, and then it puts me in a place just to love people. Just to love people, you know? Just begin to love people. Oh my gosh, you just see in a whole different thing. I mean, that's how I want to see. I want to see what the Lord sees. You know, I want to see. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. If you've seen me and those things that I do, is what he showed me to do. We can't do that, you know, like this. We don't go in there like this, see? We get this Old Testament. Maybe that has to die in you. Maybe that has to die. This Old Testament mentality of God's untouchable somehow. He's not. He's not. He wants to fill this sanctuary. He wants to fill this temple with his glory. That's what he wants to fill with wholeness. That you can love the whole creation. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. Holy, holy, holy. Oh Lord, you're so good. You're so awesome. You're so magnificent. I understand your love for me, for others. I understand your plan of salvation. I understand no one's left out. No one's left out. You don't want to, it's not your will that anyone perish. Oh my gosh, that makes a good intercessor. Oh, Kathy, that makes a good intercessor. I'm telling you. Whew. Not seeing how things are, but how they're supposed to be. Whew. That'll keep you praising God. That'll keep you in that place. This is understanding. It's called spiritual understanding. We pray in Ephesians that we would have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow, of who he is, of who, his very nature. And it starts with you. See, a lot of people don't know that God is so crazy about them. You know, it's not about what you did or, you know, it's about what he's done. About what he's done for you. It's an ongoing revelation, You know, and God wants this man, this Isaiah, to become a redemptive prophetic voice. He's called you in this hour to be a redemptive prophetic voice that brings hope to people around you. Not just parrot what the news is saying. Not just parrot what doomsdayers are saying and negative conversation. He's not calling you to do that. He's calling you to rise up and have a heavenly perspective, a divine perspective of what only God can do and speak hope to a nation. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. There's hope. Oh, I love it. And you're supposed to be able to tell everybody the hope that's within you. Not just tell them what they already know or think they know. You know, I mean, oh my goodness, where was I? You love me. You love me. You love me. And you love the guy next to me. As much as you love me. He's no respecter of persons. Do we believe that? You love me. You love me. You know, you love the guy next to me. Man, it's hard for us sometimes. Isn't it? It's so hard for us. That guy doesn't look like me. that guy doesn't act like me. That guy doesn't believe like me. That guy, you know, I mean, he's different than me. He loves me. He loves me and that guy next to you. Whew. Oh, my goodness. Where were we? It says he wants to fill our hearts with this wholeness. Wholeness. With wholeness, complete in him. To be complete in him, spirit, soul, and body. Not spirit, not just spiritually superior to everybody. Here it is. And the posts of the door were shaken. I'm here to shake you out. He's here to shake us up. You're thinking the things that are hindering you from seeing God, you know. Burn them, Lord! You know. Torch them, suckers! You know. No. I'm here to shake that up, you know what I mean? I'm here to shake that attitude up, that mentality up, that thinking up that hinders you from seeing. I mean, he had to do it to the disciples. Shall we call fire down, Jesus, from heaven? Oh, you don't know what spirit you're of. Whew. Oh, my goodness. And they cried out. Who cried out? And the house was filled again with smoke. Smoke is the incense. It's the worship. He wants to fill your heart with worship. I'm a worshiper, but my name is David. That's why I'm on David. I'm David, the worshiper, you know. He wants to fill you with worship, praise for what he's done and what he's going to do. That's what he wants to fill your mouth with. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. Woo! You know, I mean, and what happens? What happens immediately when he gets this revelation of who Jesus is? He realizes, oh my goodness, woe is me. I've misrepresented God. I thought this was who he was. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I've been given the wrong message. Been there, done that. Sorry, kids in my youth group. Some of them got saved anyway. You know, and continue to serve the Lord, but that's not the best. That's not the best. See, the best is love. The greatest is love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. Love never fails. We have to get to that place. We have to remind, that's the battle. We have to remind ourselves that love never fails. Love never fails. There's a whole lot of messages going on out there and a whole lot of stuff going on, but we have to hold the one message. My call is to hold the one message. Love never fails. Love never fails. It says, whoa, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. He wasn't cursing. He's a prophet. You know, and I mean, he wasn't swearing or he wasn't, you know. He was just given the wrong message. And we've done that. I have not met a minister yet that said, I want to burn all my old tapes. You know? Yeah. Because we're growing in a revelation. See, we're growing. If you're growing, we're growing in grace and a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's only one way to go. If you're getting harder, if you're getting angrier, if you're getting more frustrated, if your message is more critical, more damnation, you're not growing. Whew. I'm sorry. Get out from under that message. It will not help you grow. It will not help you grow to where God wants you to grow and go. And he says, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. My eyes have seen the love of the Lord. My eyes have seen the wholeness of God. My eyes have finally seen God for who he really is. Whew. Oh my goodness. This is incredible. This is wonderful. And it says, what happened? You know, and then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, you cannot purge yourself. 40-day fast, Daniel fast, I've seen it. I'm telling you what, I've seen it my whole spiritual life, the first of the year, we're all going on a fast. You know what I mean? Don't ask me, okay? I will break the fast chain. I will, you know, I mean, I'm being honest. I know myself. I know who I am, okay? I have one grace upon my life to fast, and that's alcohol. That's it. That's God's chosen fast for me. That's it. I'd be a fool to break it. I'd be a fool to break that fast because there's a grace on my life not to drink. You can drink. You can have beers. I've been out with Ron and Doug. They drink, have beers. You know, oh, I'm sorry. You know what amazes me about these two? They never finish a beer. When I was drinking, I ordered two. You know? You guys, why are you ordering two? I says, because you're not fast enough to get back here. It's not about. You cannot purge yourself. You need divine redemption. That's what you need. Oh, I'm going to try to do better this year. I'm going to eat clean. I'm on that eating clean diet. You know, I watched my wife do that. Oh, my gosh. I said, just stop it. You know. She got mad at me. I said, just stop it. That means I got to eat clean. I cleaned it up a bit. You know what I mean? I cleaned it up a little bit, okay? But I mean, you know what I'm talking about, folks? You know, I mean, you cannot purge yourself. If you could, why'd Jesus go to the cross? You can't redeem yourself. He redeemed you from your life from destruction. Oh my goodness, the grace is there. Oh, the grace is there, the mercy is there, the love is there. It says, and he took this live coal off the fire, off the fire on the altar, this burning forever. It's an everlasting fire. It's always there for us, you know, the fire of God. And he said, he took the coal and he touched it to my mouth. Oh, thank goodness. Whew. Oh, why? He wants to start a fire in my heart. Oh, he wants to start a fire in my heart, folks. He wants to start a fire in your heart of love for him out of a revelation of who he really is and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. That's the fire he wants to ignite in you. Whew. Oh, that's the fire. The fire of love. The fire of love. The fire of love. Oh, a house filled with fire, fire, fire. Remember the fire songs? Fire. We had a fire banner. I mean, we had fire, fire, fire. Whew. Wow. He wants to start a fire, folks, in you again. He wants to ignite a fire in your hearts out of the goodness of God. You've been through a lot of disappointment and, you know, frustration, you know, and you've seen a lot of stuff, but he wants to rekindle the fire that you can say the right thing out of a pure heart and out of hope and love. For a country love we love and people we love and a community that we love. Break that critical spirit. Whew. He what does he do? What is that one about the fruit of the lips? He gives the fruit of the lips. What is that one saying? Creates the fruit of your lips. Oh, I'm so sick and tired. Fortunately, my wife doesn't entertain that one either. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm here to encourage you. Hope, love, joy. You need to be a gathering with a people together that have hope in the redemptive power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my, what does he say? Here's the best part. Your iniquity is taken away. Wow. How many remember that day? Your iniquity is taken away and your sins are purged. Amen. Forever. Whew, it's done. Wow. Fire is eternal on the fire. Fire is eternal. What if I sin again? Fire is eternal forever and ever. It never goes out on the altar. The altar of cleansing, the altar of purification, it never goes out. It's there for you all the time, folks. Oh, God is so good. Oh. Wow. Whew. And I heard the voice of the Lord finally. You know, we need to hear God's voice like never before. Yeah. Like, as a minister of the gospel, as a leader, I need to hear the voice of the Lord like never before. I just can't parrot what everybody else is saying. I have to operate out of fresh revelation. I have to understand what God is doing in this hour and believe that he's doing above and beyond what we can even ask or think. That's where I have to be. And I want to surround myself with people like that. And it says, a prophetic community of hope and revelation. And it says, I heard a voice saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me until my dying breath, until I'm able to do it. Send me with this fresh revelation. Send me, not with stale bread, but a cleansing fire, a purging fire of all the old traditions and all that kind of stuff that's hindering us from seeing the freshness and the goodness of God in this hour. Oh, send me. Send me. Here I am. Send me. And he said, go and tell the people. Whew. Hallelujah. I feel so good to be doing what God told me to do. Go tell the people. Why? So you can go tell the people. Go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Sandy talked about it a couple weeks ago. Be sure you're preaching the right message. Because tradition somehow has hindered our message. Culture has kind of hindered our message. Experience has blinded our eyes. And Jesus carries the next chapter, or the next verses, forward into Matthew 13. How we doing, Ron, for time? Matthew 13. Where's that little clock? Matthew 13. I'm going to start a little farther back. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in parables? Now, he's speaking predominantly to the Jews. And he says, and he's speaking in object lessons. Object lessons mainly, you know, trying to get him to understand what he's saying. And he answered and said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Whew. We have the mysteries. We have the true riches. We're talking about a kingdom. We're talking about a kingdom. We're not talking about a country. We're talking about a kingdom that we're part of. A heavenly kingdom. This is the divine perspective, but to them it has not been given. For whosoever has to him, more will be given. And he will give in abundance. But whosoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. See, he's talking about the sower and the seed, isn't he? See, the seed, we all started in the same place. The seed was planted, the gospel was planted in our heart. Now, is it growing? Is your hope growing? Is your love growing? Is your mercy growing? Is your goodness growing? What's choking it out? That's what he's saying. What's choking it out? What's choking it out? Therefore, I speak to them in parable because seeing, they cannot see. Blinded. Hearing, they do not understand. And then in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull or become hard. That is one of the greatest hindrances to spiritual seeing, is hardness of heart. Being hardened by the circumstances of life, the situations of life, the disappointments, that hinders you folks from seeing the goodness of God in the land of the living. That hinders you folks. That's the battle. That's the battle, I'm telling you. It's not so much the devil, I'm telling you. It's your own mind. It's your own mind, your own ideas, your own traditions, your own cultural norms, all these things. I mean, we're citizens of another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. It says, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their spiritual eyes and hear with their spiritual ears, lest they should understand with their hearts. understand with your heart. Your heart's got to lead in this, I'm telling you. In this hour, your heart's got to lead, not your head. It says, so that I should heal them. Whew. Praise God. We want to get healed, don't we? I know people that need healing desperately. But maybe their theology of God, you know, doesn't have that understanding. They can't see that. You know, I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can the blind lead the blind? Whew. You need leaders, friends, with spiritual insight. Not to just agree with your frustration or your anger or your political view or, you know, whatever it is that is a sacred cow in your life that God's trying to get through to let you see him and a God of all possibilities. That's what you need. You need spiritual eyes and a heart or someone in your life that can see beyond your own pain, your own situation, your own trouble. Oh my gosh, you know what that's called? Prayer. Boy, we prayed for all you guys. And you're here. You're sitting here this morning. It's a miracle. Because you've been given hope by those around you. You've been given hope by those close to you. Life can be intolerable and difficult, but you're in a community of hope. Oh, thank God. I see my brother sitting here. That guy was paralyzed. I wish I could remember his name. Don. I've only known him 30 years. All right. Don was paralyzed last year. We saw him in the hospital. Ho! Oh, my goodness. That he would heal you. I want to be in a community of healing. That's what I want to be, in a community of healing, not political correctness or, you know, rigid theology or, you know, I want to be in a community of healing. Oh, my goodness. The testimonies. People could stand up. I mean, some people, new people come here. I want to tell them what other people have been through. I want to tell them what other people have been through. They wouldn't even believe it. They would not even believe it. What? Because we're a community of hope. Loving God and loving people. Oh, I'm excited about what he wants to do, aren't you? Now, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. Whew. That's what he says. Oh, that's my prayer all the time. Oh, God. I mean, I'll put my hands. Put your hands right on your eyes. Whew. And we don't need some of Louise's wonderful, you know, balm right this minute. But it's a spiritual prayer for God to open our eyes and see people's hurts, their struggles, their pains, to see with new eyes, to go into work and just see. To go into school, to go into the grocery store and to see with spiritual eyes. And God will never show you beyond what you can handle, I'm telling you. But it'll bring his nature to your heart. That's what he's talking about. Softening your heart that you can understand his emotions and his nature towards people. That's seeing the Lord, folks. Lord, we just ask you this morning. To anoint. We want the anointing that Isaiah had, that prophetic anointing, Lord God, that prophetic messianic anointing to carry on in this hour what he saw, the Lord, high and lifted up, loving all the people, loving the community, loving earth, loving his creation, Lord God. God, the windows of heaven are open and love is flowing. So, Lord, help us. With spiritual eyes, that we would see different this week than we've ever seen. That we'd turn off the television. That we'd give 10 minutes to gazing at you and who you are. 10 minutes. And the nature of who you are to fill us with that love and that grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Whew. Wow, I could stay there forever. I'm going to.